Just in case you haven't been around for a while, let me explain to you what you're seeing up here. That's Josh Monk on the end and Jake Taylor in the middle. And I'm Bob Spradling. And we did some shifting of our staffing here a few months ago. And so the three of us and Wayne Bandy comprise your staff, and we all have different levels of responsibility. And along with that, we started preaching through the gospel, not the gospel, but the book of James. And we started a topic with James, and we're ending up James today. It's really interesting how God arranges things. You plan these messages a couple of months in advance, and then God just puts the right message for the right time. And so going off of Dee's prayer earlier for the offering, and many of us are connected here with a friend of ours who lost his life this week way too early. In fact, if my schedule works out this week, I will have probably four funerals, one between yesterday and probably this time next Sunday. And two of them lived a really long life, and two of them didn't live long enough. And Josh and I were talking during his class, and he said, we've just got to start winning. And it's really interesting that our topic today tells us how to win. And so in your own personal life, we're going to talk about how you can win. And then as a church trying to make an impact in our culture, we're going to talk about how God can use us so that everybody can be like Norma Bramble, who will have her service this week on Wednesday. Norma was in church with you all last Sunday morning. And then on Thursday, she went to heaven. At the age of, 92, 93, something like that, lived a full life. That's what we want. And so we want to know how we can cooperate with God so that we all live as long as God designs us to. Okay, is that good enough with y'all? Why don't we pray, and Jake, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get started reading some Bible here.
God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this community, this family that you've given us here at Maywood. I pray your Holy Spirit would come and you would teach us, that you would be active in each of our hearts, that you would show us how to respond to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to read six verses from the book of James. And in every one of those verses, the word pray appears. And so when we are in trouble, which is one of those phrases, when we're in trouble, what does James say? Pray. When we're sick, what does he tell us to do? Pray. When we have sin problems in our life, what does he tell us to do? Pray. And prayer does what? It opens the door so that God can enter into our life situation. And you're going to hear some stories from Jake and from Josh about how God has answered prayer for healing. You're also going to hear about how God chose not to answer the request that we have brought before him. That's part of it. We're going to talk about barriers. What gets in the way of effective praying? That's not to mean that every unanswered prayer had a barrier, but it is to mean that there are some barriers. We're going to talk about those, and then we're going to give you a chance to respond. Let God work in your life for you, for your family, for your friends, for this community. Okay, so here are the verses. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? That's the trouble word, isn't it? What does he say? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer. You see that word prayer keeps coming up? The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being. He wants to underscore the fact that this incredible man of God out of the Old Testament was what? He was a human being. If we were talking about him today, we'd say he puts on his pants just like all of us, one leg at a time. He doesn't jump off the end of the bed and automatically he has pants around his waist like some Superman. He's a human being. Why is he saying that? He's saying that because people like you and me can be used for by God to answer prayers for us and for others when you're in trouble, when you're sick, when you have sin problems in your life. Those prayers are effective. Elijah was a human being as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Jake's going to tell us a story about answered prayer that I think I've heard it 3 or 4 times from Jake now. I like it every time, so tell it again.
Okay. Well, this week, as soon as we started talking about this passage, Bob and Josh and I, a story came to my mind real vividly from about 5 years ago, and it involves this family up here at the top of the screen and then Peluche at the bottom, the guy in the green. So I was living in Mexico, some of you guys know, for a couple years, building houses for families that didn't have a good place to live. And Peluche became my kind of partner in that. He was a local guy that I got to know and become friends with. He's a strong Christian. He started to help on the construction, and then he started to help me go visit with families and that we'd built for, and we'd go pray with them and have, you know, a meal with them and just hang out. Well, one of the days when we were going to visit this family, it's Maria Guadalupe in the white on the top corner there, and then Alfredo, her husband, in the yellow. And we went over there one afternoon, and as soon as we got in the door, things got really serious. You could tell that Maria Guadalupe had been crying for a long time, and she was very upset. And so we sat down, and we started to talk to her about what's going on, what's the problem. And she was pregnant at that point, and they had these two boys already, too. And we start to ask her what's going on, and she says that she had just gone to the doctor earlier that day because she was having some of the same symptoms she'd had during a couple of miscarriages that she'd had in the past when she'd been pregnant, and she was worried for her baby. And so she'd gone to the doctor at the hospital close to us, and the doctor had told her that her baby was already dead. And when she heard that, she told the doctor, "I don't think my baby is actually dead. I think my baby's still alive." And the doctor was very, very rude to her, like implied that she was dumb and that he was the doctor and that he knew what she should do and that she needed to just abort this baby because it was already dead. And so you sit, you know, just a few feet. I'm on the corner of a bed because there's not chairs in the house and stuff. Corner of a bed talking to Maria Guadalupe about this. And I have the same emotions going through me that you guys probably do. I mean, I'm mad at this horrible doctor who would break news like that in such a way, in such a jerky way. And I feel so sad for Maria Guadalupe. So those are what's going through my head. And we're getting ready to talk to her. Obviously, she's looking for some sort of comfort. But I remember super clearly what Peluche said to her. And it was in Spanish. But what she said, what he said to her is, if you have faith, si tienes fe, for those up in the balcony, if you have faith, then God will heal your baby. And I see some of your expressions are just what I was thinking inside. As soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, gosh, like that is not the right thing to say in this moment. Like, that's you don't say that to somebody who's already been told that their baby's dead. And so Peluche and I were really close. I really trusted Peluche. I trusted him enough to just kind of take a back seat in that conversation. I didn't say a lot. We did pray for her. We prayed that her baby would be healed. And she prayed with us. But as soon as we got outside the door, we started walking up this dusty road away from their house. As soon as that happened, I had all these great reasons in my head of, like, you cannot tell somebody who, you know, if that baby dies, like, you're going to ruin her by having said that, you know, is what I'm thinking. And for all these reasons, I start to say to Peluche about, like, that was a terrible thing to say. And Peluche shut me up with just one statement, and he outweighed everything that I had said. He said, "Well, Jake, God told me to say that to her, so I said it." As soon as he said that, I thought, well, that's a really good reason to have said it. So we'll talk a little bit more later on about a little bit what I learned from Peluche in that moment. And there's more of a story here I can tell you guys later, but just to jump to the ending, Maria Guadalupe's baby lived and was healthy. A little baby girl named Amber, and it was a miracle, and the family knew it was a miracle. It really changed the family dynamic. Both Alfredo and Maria Guadalupe went from believing in God, but not in a very strong way, to really knowing that God is real and cares about them. So it's this incredible, incredible story about how God can heal.
You know, what's really interesting to me, every so often Jake and I will be riding around town, and he'll pick up his phone, and he'll go, "Bueno," and I know it's Belucci. And Belucci calls him from Mexico and talks to him, and Jake is somewhat of his counselor and advisor. And as we're driving, I'm listening to one side of a Spanish conversation, and I'm sure there's another Spanish conversation on the other end. What I want you all to hear is Belucci is not a superstar. He is not some guy who has a late-night TV show. He doesn't go around with a bottle of oil in his pocket anointing people and praying over them all the time, okay? And I'm not trying to put any of that stuff down, but I'm saying he is a normal person who was open to God. And I'm looking at about 350 normal people who can be open to God and don't say, "Count me out, I can't do it." What you may say is, "I need to step up my game. This is not just for professionals. This is for people like you." In fact, especially for people like you. When you're in trouble, when you're sick, when you have needs, when you know somebody like that, when sin is winning instead of Jesus winning, would you please hear, it's praying time. Turn it on. See what God will do. Okay? Josh has got a pretty good story, too. 7 years ago, you had a prayer answered.
Okay. 7 years ago, this Saturday coming up, I've been running pretty wide open for about 20 years, and I found myself at a St. Luke's hospital downtown and hadn't slept or ate anything in about a decade. And those who are laughing, you already know.
He weighed 160 pounds, if you can imagine, and looked like he had cancer. Go ahead.
And so, let me paint the picture for you. I'm in this hospital room, and I can't hardly breathe because when I lay down, my lung blood just starts coming out my mouth because I had this, I didn't know what I had. Okay, so the day's here, and the doctors come in, and they say, "Well, you don't have anything that's going to kill you today. And what you have is you have a real bad case of pneumonia." And I was like, "Phew, thank you, Jesus." And they said, "But in a couple days, you're going to be able to go home." And the doctor walked out of the room. I remember it very vividly. My first thought after the doctor left was, "Oh, I don't have a home. I walked away from my home to get high on dope. I walked away from my home so I could do meth and party." And my friend Matt Andrews says it the best. He says, "It started off as a party, and it was a blast, and it was fun, and then it ended up stealing my freaking life." When I was at the end, I looked up, and here's what I said. I remember laying back in this hospital bed, and I was really hopeless. I was out of good ideas. And I said, "God," I mind you, I hadn't said a prayer in 20 years. Hadn't needed to, right? And I said, "God, you got to come fix this mess I made. Because I've managed to turn my life into a mess. And I want to blow my brains out every single day. I just want it to be over. You've got to come save me. I don't have much time. Because I can't will myself to do this anymore." And that was 7 years ago. And at that moment, God started changing my life. Now listen, here's the important part. I didn't pray for my situation to change. I knew that I had to change. I had to change. A lot of times we get caught in this thing where we want God to change this person, and we want God to heal this person. We want God to fix this. But when you're out of good ideas, and you come to the end of yourself, you can say, "No, it's nobody else, man. You've got to change me, God. And I've tried, and I can't do it, or I would have already did it." And that's where I'm at.
That's good. Amen. Amen. You might hear me say this more than once this morning. We could preach this sermon for a couple of hours because there's a whole lot to be said, and we just don't have time to tell it. When you're in trouble, it's praying time. If you're in trouble today, open the door. All prayer does is open the door for God to come in. It does not matter what you say. It matters what's in your heart. And if you're in your heart today, want God to come into a situation, whatever prayer you can give him, God, come and rescue me. And he will open the door, and he'll take you from 160 pounds and looking like you're going to die to 215 and looking like what he's got going on, all right? That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord, for that. More than just physically, but spiritually. I heard somebody applauding. That's worth God. Amen? Let's do that.
I mean, hey, and I want to say this real quick, too, before we move forward, man. This is important, is to look at God and say, what do you want me to do today to change? That's where it starts, man, is we talked about it in Sunday school, is we come here and we leave here the same. And that isn't going to fix anything. You've got to change something about yourself today. God will speak to you today. If God's already spoke to you today, but he's going to speak to you, I promise you, today. He's going to tell you how he wants you to change.
That's good. I'm going to hand this to Jake in 1 second. You look, you have a comment.
I just have a comment on what Josh just said. I've had some friends who don't believe in God who have come to a point where they say, God, if you're real, do this or that, or show me this, or show me that you're real. And I've not seen God answer one of those prayers, but I've seen God answer a lot of prayers like what Josh just talked about. When you say, God, I've tried it my way, and I want to start over with you. I want to live my life with you. God gets involved. God's not just going to show up and do a laser light show to prove himself to you. God wants to show up and show you how to live your life. If you want to really get to know God, you've got to say, here's my life.
All right. Good. Amen. Good word. Good word. Now, here comes the hard part of this sermon. And every time we preach a sermon about answered prayer, there's somebody out there who didn't get a prayer answered. And you prayed with all your heart. And instead of getting what you asked for, you didn't get it. And so we're going to try to struggle with this. At the end, Jake's going to tell a story about that. But the end of that, I just want to say, the end of that is don't stop praying. No matter what you get in terms of an answer, if you keep the door open through prayer, God can come and meet with you. So, Jake, why don't you tackle the toughest part of the sermon?
Yeah, I wandered around. All week I've been thinking about sharing the story, and I wandered around my house pacing for a couple hours yesterday trying to figure it out. And it's because whenever I tell the story about Maria Guadalupe, I always hate it if I only have time to tell her story and about Amber getting healed, because in my mind, it's totally wrapped up with a story about Nathan as well, because they happened in the same calendar year or so. Maria Guadalupe was pregnant for months and months. You know, we were hoping that things were going to work out. At the same time, this is one of my old roommates from college, Nathan. And Nathan's one of those, like, you know, poster childs for great Christian guy. You know, very generous, very happy, very fun guy, easy to make friends with, welcoming to other people. Very smart, you know, he did great in college, and he married a really sweet Christian girl, and it seemed like he's just going to be a great husband and a great dad, and who knows all the things that he's going to accomplish in life with God. Well, around the same time Maria Guadalupe was struggling down in Mexico, Nathan was struggling with leukemia here in the States, and it tore him up. And, I mean, it got to the point, I can remember after he'd had it for several months, I came back from Mexico and we got some food together, and I didn't even recognize him when he walked in from the parking lot because he was on so much medication and it was messing up his body so much. So he's suffering like crazy. And Nathan was the type of guy who had a lot of friends. And I bet hundreds of people were praying daily for Nathan to get over this battle. And I know I was down in Mexico with a buddy of mine. We were fasting and praying for Nathan to get better. And when I was on the dusty road of Peluche, something I left out of the story is one of my good reasons with Paluche of why you shouldn't say if you have faith you're going to be healed, I brought up Nathan by name to Paluche. And I said, my friend Nathan has leukemia, and I've been praying for months for him, and he still has leukemia. God didn't heal him of that yet, is what I was telling Paluche. So I would love for all of our stories to end like Maria Guadalupe's story ends, where God comes through in the exact way that I asked and that other people asked, and it's a happy story for everybody. So Nathan, this is a picture from several years ago because Nathan is dead. So, I mean, I just want that to sink in, that we prayed for him to get better, and he died. And I bet if we pass the mic around that there's a lot of stories like that. I can tell you lots of stories. I've seen more people than just little baby Amber get healed. I've seen a lot of healings in my life, but I've also seen a lot of really good people suffer through a lot of stuff, even though people are praying for something different. And I don't present both stories to you because, I have some great, let's wrap it up in a pretty bow, and here's a formula for you. I don't have any of that. I've thought about these two cases a lot. But I learned a couple of things I want to point out to you. These are real experiences that I've gone through, and there's a couple of truths to point out. One is, when Nathan died, his wife is this great woman. A lot of us were like, why did God let this happen? And Renee talked to us, or actually messaged us, about don't lose your faith in God. That's the last thing that Nathan would want, for any of you to start questioning God. He's a great believer. And so I learned through that, that even when God says no to what we asked for, I know from enough of my experiences with God that God is good, that God's working towards a day when there won't be any more leukemia, or there won't be any more of the tragedies that we face right now. But the Bible's pretty clear with us that we're in a messed up world right now, and Jesus is pretty clear there's going to be suffering, even for people that do the right thing most of the time, like Nathan, okay? But here's another big lesson. If you've gone through somebody close to you suffering, is that I was really gun-shy about praying for healing after what happened to Nathan. There was no way, I think, when I sat in the room with Maria Guadalupe, I heard the same things Paluche said. Why did God speak to Paluche and tell Paluche to say, if you have faith, this baby's going to be healed? I know why he didn't talk to me about it, because I did not have an open heart at all for that sort of thing at that moment. As soon as Paluche said it to me and said that God told him, I realized, like, yep, that's true. It's possible. But I don't think I was open in my heart at all to hear that from God. So if you've suffered through witnessing somebody you care about or going through some suffering yourself, another lesson I have for you is not that God's always going to answer your prayers if you just think the right thought or trick yourself into having the right feeling in your heart. But I do know we have to stay open, that our God is real, that our God does heal, that he does step in a miraculous way, in a powerful way, and that has to always be a real possibility. When we face a crisis, a real possibility that God can heal. We need to not be gun-shy of that. We can't control God. He's not a magic wand that we just have to figure out how to work. So, yeah, I can't wrap it up real simply. I do want to say, though, that we could talk for hours and hours just about why did God do this for little baby Amber and not for Nathan, and we could go in circles and there wouldn't be any good answers. Paluche was asked by a lady this week that we also built a house for that has a crippled daughter, why is my daughter crippled? Why did God let this happen? Why can't she go run and play with the other kids? Paluche also couldn't just fix that. He came and talked to me on the phone about there's no good answers for those questions. But it's easy to look at God and think God needs to do this, or God should do that, or why doesn't God do this? I can tell you, God is doing his side well. God is doing his side with love. We may not understand it all, but as we've been reading through James, James gives us some of what is on our side of the table. We are supposed to be praying, and there's certain things we're supposed to be doing to help our prayers be effective. So I want to hand it off to Bob. What are some of the things that's on our side of the table with prayer?
Let's do that. I want to really underscore, please hear this. I am looking at 350 people who could have a healing ministry. That's everybody here. Now, little munchkins, they may have to grow into it. But adults, think about it. You have a role. And when I think about healing, I think in a very broad sense, emotional healing, spiritual healing, freedom from addiction, yes, freedom from illness, you have that chance. And you can be involved. You just need to say, I'm going to be here. And what is one of the major, major things God uses in that? Prayer, okay? Opening the door for God to work through you and in you. And this is a mystery. We've talked about it, and there are many of you who know answered prayer, and you also know prayers that you prayed fervently that didn't get answered. Keep on praying. Now, I'm going to draw a line here. I'm going to step over to this side, and I'm going to talk about something else, and that is barriers to prayer. There are some things that block the flow. I shared with the early crowd, I left my garden hose out a couple of winters ago, and something built a wonderful nest inside my garden hose. I don't know what it was, but it packed in leaves and dirt and who knows what all else in there. And so I hooked it up to the faucet and I turned it on, and guess what happened? Nothing came out. And we can be just like that before God. We can be, well, I look like a Christian. I look like a servant of God. But the power of God and the life of God can't flow through me. What's the problem? Well, I've got it packed full of the debris of my life. I've got it packed full of all the junk of my life. And somehow I'm trying to do God things, but I can't do God things because I'm full of something else, and he can't flow through me. So we're going to talk about really quickly about some barriers. And I'm going to read these verses on the screen to you. And I'm going to talk just for a second and ask Josh to finish up, because we've spent a lot of time on other stuff, all right? So here we go. You do not have because you don't ask. That's what James 4:2 says. But it says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on what you get on your pleasures. Look at that word pleasures. The word pleasure, I'll take a second. That if you were to distill that down, it is willfulness, self-will, what I want. And sometimes we are praying all about a heart of self-will. And you can't work God. You can probably work me. You can come and cry and tell me a story. I'm easy. But I'm getting better. You're helping me. I am. Josh says, don't you ever do it again. If you do it again, Bob, I'm coming after you. Matt Andrews, back here in the back. Matt's doing security today. Y'all are safe. Matt Andrews came to me with, Bob. I mean, okay, so y'all got that? But you can't do that to God, all right? And I can't either. And so if you're trying to work God, you can't, and that's a barrier. Enough said. Josh, your turn.
Don't ask Bob for money.
Thank you.
Let's flip to the next slide here. We'll talk about it. Here's what James says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Let's talk about this for 1 second, and then we'll move on. This is about accountability. Confess your sins to each other. There's a time where you don't really want to confess your sins to each other. You want to just try to confess them to God because you think that you can work him. If nobody knows, God can't really see me. I can give him the okey-doke. Hey, God, what's that? When he looks at you back doing what you was doing before. Don't really work that way, but we think it does. Okay. I think that James is thinking like I'm thinking, that when you confess to your brothers, man, well, first of all, you have to make some brothers, which getting involved in Wednesday night's a great way to do that, by the way. We've created a bond in these Wednesday night groups where we can come in and say, hey, man, I'm struggling in this area. And you can confess your sins to your brothers. That's called accountability, man. Like, it's real. You're less likely to keep doing it when your friends are like, hey, isn't that what you was praying about? Hey, you're doing it again, dum-dum. You know, stop it. Okay? It's called accountability. Let's move on. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I wonder why, as you read through the Bible, you're like, well, there's Moses and Joshua and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David. There's all these guys, man, and Elijah, and you're like, were these guys, like, when God made people, did he, like, make these dudes with superpowers? Well, no, he didn't. It says there, Elijah was a human being, just like us. Why were their prayers so powerful and effective? Let me tell you why. These people lived in a relationship with God. They didn't hold nothing back for themselves. They spent time with God. They obeyed God. They gave him everything that they had. Everything. Now listen. What would it be like if our prayers for our friends that are lost were so powerful that it could change their lives? It says this dude prayed and God stopped the rain. If our prayers were so powerful that we could speak into our friends' lives and their life could be changed. It's amazing. Yeah?
Amen. Amen. So here's the deal. We just cut about half of our sermon out because we loaded up the first half with a lot of other things. So I'm going to wrap this up so we can respond to God. It's very, very important that we respond to God. In trouble, when sin comes knocking at your door, when you're sick, or when there's somebody out there that you want to rescue from sickness, sin, or trouble, God's answer, 6 verses, 6 times, pray. Yeah, we don't know all about prayer. We just know God told us to pray. It's his business beyond that. We need to have a clean vessel, that hose between God and our need and other people's needs needs to be cleaned out. Confess your sins. Get it lined up with God. We're going to have a bunch of folks lined up here, and we're going to invite you to come and to pray for other people, all right, and to pray for yourself, all right? So let's do that. Please stand with me. Jake, why don't you lead some prayer, would you?
God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we can trust you. Even if we don't understand things, God, that we can trust you. And right now, we have a chance to put that trust into action. God, help us to make a response. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.